When's this damn thing gonna start?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Okay, that's better, I guess, now that we're...
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm serious. I wouldn't kid you about that. Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. That's what they call me on the birth certificate and on my driver's license and on my credit cards and on my underpants. That's how I know who I am. My mother used to write my name in all my underpants. I don't know why. She would take a marker and put my name or my last name on the inside elastic band of my underpants. I never asked her why she did it, because I didn't want to embarrass either of us at that time. I went to summer camp, and I know that that was why she did it then, because all your laundry goes in a bag, and my underpants could get mixed up with somebody else's underpants. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, one of the most disgusting thoughts one can ever have. Well, there are two disgusting thoughts that one can ever have. One is their parents actually having sex. That is something no one can picture in their mind and shouldn't. You can watch pornos and chicka-bow-wows and watch movies on the screen and see love scenes and sex scenes, but the mere thought of your own parents getting it on, I mean, that's bad enough, but actually having the actual act of sex, you know they did it at a point, otherwise you wouldn't be here. Quite obviously, something happened. Somebody rolled over somewhere by mistake, you know what I'm saying? But they did it at some point, and perhaps even more than once. I don't know how many siblings you have, or if they actually did it for quote-unquote entertainment purposes, that would be crazy. But to picture your own parents getting it on and going, oh, baby, oh, baby, it just, ugh, ew, ew, you just can't. That's something you can't put together, and it doesn't. The brain doesn't allow you to do that. It says, no, I won't. Brain cells actually go, no, I won't do it. I will not do that. I can't even imagine your parents having, oh, I can't do it. You can't imagine. You can't do it. You can think as hard as you can and try to draw pictures about it. You can't get... There's no way! That's one thing that the mind cannot handle. The other is somebody wearing your underpants by mistake or you wearing somebody else's underpants by mistake. That is freaky. Now, as a man... Which I am a man. As a man, that's... We got the ball thing going on, and the penis delecti. That, by the way, is a scientific term. It's the penis delecti. Those three things, which I call the Holy Trilogy, they should not ever be held or touch cloth, so to speak. It's religiously, they should never touch the cloth. It's bad. It's just bad. And to wear somebody else's underpants is just... It's not even from a health standpoint. It's the same thing with the parents having sex. I can't imagine wearing somebody else's underpants. nor the possibility thereof. I don't know about women. Women seem to like other women more than men seem to like other men. You know, women go to the bathroom together. Men don't go to the bathroom. Hey, Joe, you wanna go take a pee with me?
Yeah, that should be good. We can talk about things there while we're taking the pee. Come on, let's go. We'll be back, ladies. Doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. But ladies all the time in a restaurant or wherever they are at a party,
I have to go. Margaret, you want to come with me? Sure, we'll go. Sure, we'll be back. We'll be back, guys. We'll be back. We're going to talk about you and put some more makeup on our face. We'll be back.
That's no problem for them. So could they swap underpants or, as they call it in the female trade, panties? Panties? Could they swap panties? Maybe so, because their organs are internal. Everything that goes on in their lower section of relief is all inside them. There's nothing that hangs out of them. So men have the Holy Trilogy. Women, nothing's hanging around there, you know? Maybe you got a little bit of the bush country getting into the cloth industry, but beyond that, nothing going on. So if women wanted to swap underpants or panties, as we call them, I guess it would be okay, no real big deal. Besides, women love other women. They would find that to be erotic. Guess what? You're wearing Mary's panties. That's fantastic. I've always wanted to wear Mary panty. It doesn't matter for them. How the hell did I get onto this subject? Ooh, baby. Hey, Ben Carson, presidential candidate, is slipping in the polls quickly because everything he says is so ridiculously stupid. It gives me a little bit of hope for the Republicans because they have enough intelligence to think that Ben Carson may not have the stuff it takes to be president, that being intelligence. Yeah, he's a neurosurgeon or whatever the fuck he does. He's a surgeon. That doesn't mean that you can run a country. Surgeon, run a country. Not necessarily the same thing. So he's plummeted in the polls. Donald Trump says 50,000 stupid things, stands behind a pulpit and says bullshit in front of all his audience, and they love that. They say, oh, we got a president that says bullshit. That would be something, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would be something horrible. Trump is totally whacked off, man. He's doing the Donald Trump show in his head. He's not doing the presidency thing. He's doing the Donald Trump show. He's a scary individual. And yet, no matter what he says, he doesn't drop in the polls. He goes up, no matter what it is. No matter what it is, doesn't make any difference. Somebody sneezed in Ohio. Oh, Trump's numbers went up. Trump's numbers went up because that guy sneezed in Ohio. That's how lucky this Trump guy is. But Ben Carson, who was really his only challenge, is slipping in the polls greatly. And it's possibly because he doesn't know the difference between the military group Hamas and that delicacy from the Middle East, hummus. Here he is giving a speech to a crowd of people, and he doesn't know the difference between Hamas and hummus.
But beyond the territorial challenge, a much bigger challenge exists. The challenge is the split between Fatah and Hamas. Fatah and Hamas operate in a constant state of conflict. Fatah rules the West Bank, Hamas rules the Gaza Strip. These two groups are constantly arresting each other's political foes in their respective territories. They reportedly torture each other's cooperatives and are continually vying for the support of the Palestinian people. Part of the problem, of course, is that Fatah is largely a secular political movement, while Hamas is a deeply religious Islamic political movement.
By the way, Ben Carson was reading that whole thing. He was not looking at the audience. He was reading off of a piece of paper as if it was all written down for him. He has no freaking idea what hummus is or Hamas or Fafa or Fala or whatever. Or Faha. He doesn't know. He doesn't know the difference. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So he's dropped in the polls. And the entertainment capital of the world, the Republican Party, continues to entertain us. day in and day out and out and day in, day out and day, day out and day in, day. Last night on television, there was a television special on the network. Apparently, Frank Sinatra celebrating his 100th birthday. I don't have the sensitivity enough to say to them, excuse me, but he died decades ago. You're still celebrating his 100th birthday. It's me, to me, a little morose and a little bit socially awkward that we celebrate birthdays of people that have died a long time ago, because you can't celebrate their birthday because they're not alive anymore. Celebrating birthdays should be for people that still are breathing. After you stop breathing and you've left this wonderful life force that we call life, you can't have any more birthdays. You can do, if he were alive, he would be 100 television special. You could do that. That's not what they did. They celebrated his 100th birthday. Now, I don't know if they brought a cake out and had him post-mortemly blow out candles. I don't know how that happened. So they had all these singing stars who are on every single award show, by the way. I'm sick of all these people. And they sing famous Sinatra songs while they have pictures of Sinatra on a big screen behind them. And this went on for quite a period of time, almost felt like 100 years. So happy birthday to Frank Sinatra, who can't have any more birthdays. We're also going to celebrate the birthday of Elvis Presley. If Lincoln were still alive, he'd be 727. And we're just going to celebrate birthdays as if they're still here, and we don't even know if they are or not, and that's what we do.
Over the internet and into your face, it's the all-new Ron Van Dam Show on Metro South Podcasting. You've got some Van Dam on your cheek there, just up by your, yeah, right there. You probably want to wipe that off quickly. That stuff really stains.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today,
yes, yes, yes. We have a big What Are You Wearing show today. We do, because we have a special guest with us. Alicia Carey is the owner and proprietor and designer of Alicia Carey Couture. She is a friend of the program, and she does an incredible job. She actually takes fashion and not only makes it affordable, as a lot of outlet stores do, and Macy's and all that stuff, but what she does is she actually designs clothing for the actual person. I mean, like, here is me, here's my personality, here's my body, and she takes all that information, she designs something for you. That's like, it's pretty intense. I mean, that's really cool. That's what she do. And she's also a fashion consultant and a fashion expert. And she joins us now to talk about, well, it's the season for people to be at work. And after work, we're going to have a holiday party. So come from your work to the holiday party location, and we're all going to celebrate at our holiday party. And you have to say to yourself, how do I handle that? I've been in my work clothes all day, and I don't have time to go home. How do you do that? So, well, Nick, yeah, Alicia Carey Couture to the rescue, ladies and gentlemen. Let's say hello to her. Alicia Carey joins us now. It's Couture by Alicia, and she joins us to talk about the holidays and how fashion plays a role in the upcoming holidays. I assume it does.
You know, Ron, thank you so much for having me on. I was very eager this morning to speak to you. And yes, the holidays is it's good times. It's festive times, and fashion does play a role.
Yeah.
Even though some people might not want it to, fashion does play a role in the holiday festivities, especially the holiday party.
Yeah. And a lot of us have been invited to them. And then the first question that a lot of people ask is, well, what am I supposed to wear? What do I wear?
Okay, great. Now, I've got good news for you on all fronts, all right? So let's talk about the office party. We'll break it down. We'll make it like office and then just like, you know, a social gathering.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to the office party, depending on where you were, where you work, you want to might err on the conservative side.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to give you some tips. I'm not talking you have to go in a suit and tie, but I'm just saying don't wear micro mini to your, you know, okay. If you work for a law firm, it's probably not best to show up in a micro mini glittering and all that kind
okay.
of stuff.
I won't.
You won't, a push-up bra, you won't. Okay, great, great. As long as you won't, I'm good. So let's talk about going from the office
yes.
to the holiday party.
Yes.
Now, it's really easy. It's not as bad as you think. You don't have to bring two outfits with you. You don't have to hide one outfit, you know, in a bag and mm-hmm. then pop out of the closet at 6 o'clock and show the whole world your business.
Uh-huh.
Let's make it subtle. Let's keep it simple, stupid, as they say.
Okay.
So let's talk about the women, then we'll go with the men. For women, if the office that you work in is a conservative one, mm-hmm. meaning you have to probably wear a skirt or pants uh-huh. or something, you know, you want to keep the daytime look, but just bring with you in your bag, uh-huh. and we're going to get to the bags later, bring with you some items to kind of zhuzh it up a bit, like
okay.
Give it a little some pizzazz. So, for example, if you go to office with a skirt
yep.
and pencil skirt, say example, and a white shirt yep. and a jacket,
uh-huh.
when it comes to the holiday party, let me glam you up. We're going to, instead of the white shirt, bring some sort of, I would say, some sort of V-neck or it could just be a tank top, but something that either has a pop of color
uh-huh.
or it has a different material that is festive, like sequins. Everybody loves sequins
okay.
During the holiday times. It's time when you pull that sequin top out. So replace that white blouse with a sequin top. And then when it comes to like your accessories, if you started off with little stud earrings, go a little bit bigger. They call them chandelier earrings because they're so
okay.
big. Go bolder earrings. When it comes to your makeup, you know, you're probably doing sort of a daytime makeup. I would suggest go with, you know, pop the eyes up, put a little bit, get a little bold and put some purple on those eyelids, you know.
I gotcha.
Put on a red lipstick
okay.
and if you have like little pumps, you might want to go there a little higher. Maybe go for your platform heels. And that is just those quick steps. You've actually gone from office, conservative,
mm-hmm.
to office party time and still kept your dignity intact.
Okay. See, that makes sense because you don't want to be with somebody in the office all day and then you go to the party and look exactly the same. This because they may say, whoa, is that all you got? So that's a great idea. Bring stuff that you don't have to carry around, that it's a quick change kind of thing. Very good.
Exactly.
I like that.
Then let's talk about the guys, because
yeah.
I don't forget the guys, because everybody always thinks guys are forgotten in fashion time. Now, let's talk guys.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, it's almost simple. It's almost the same. You have, let's just say you work in an office
mm-hmm.
where you wear a suit, okay?
Yes.
So I'm going to give you three tips for guys.
Okay.
One, get rid of the tie. And that's one way to kind of just become a little bit more casual
uh-huh.
and get into the holiday spirit. The other one is, instead of getting rid of the tie, change up your tie. Do something like, you know, do a fun tie,
that's
a Seneca
yeah.
tie, a
yeah.
Hanukkah tie. You
yeah.
know what I mean? That's one way to bring you into the spirit. Then instead of the white shirt, guys, you can also switch up with a turtleneck.
Mm-hmm.
And a turtleneck, you can do the turtleneck to match the suit, or you can actually do a turtleneck with a pop of color, like a cranberry or a teal blue or a green, something along the festive holiday colors.
So the turtleneck is kind of back in style a little bit, or did it ever go away? I kind of thought it went away.
It never went away. It never went away.
Okay.
It never went away. But now we're not ashamed of it anymore, so we put it in the front of the closet.
All right. Okay.
And
cool.
then there's also these great plaid shirts that they look like, you know, a little lumberjacky,
mm-hmm.
That's what you want to call it, but they're great for holidays. It's a really great holiday style. I would say go for that. And then the final one, which is kind of great, is change up your jacket. So say you go to the holiday party with you know, dark gray suit, white shirt, mm-hmm. Bring a different color jacket with you. And the jacket could be any texture. It could be, I've seen guys in denim jackets. Mm-hmm. I've seen them in corduroy, whatever. Just change it up so you actually look like you have a different look, and all you have to do is change your jacket.
All right, let me ask you this, Alicia. Is corduroy, that's acceptable still? No, I thought that went out with turtlenecks, no?
No, corduroy is always acceptable. Let me give you a secret, Ron. This is the best secret kept. Ready?
Right. Yep.
Nothing goes out.
Oh.
You're in the media. It's just a matter of who's shining the light on whom. The
Correct.
Closet still has all of it. It's literally where you're shining the light. I've given away things that I cringe right now because everything comes back. It used to be everything comes back in like 5 years or 3 years. Everything, every season, the same thing is there. The only difference is where the spotlight is on. And really, when it comes to fashion, there are no rules. I love the fact that we've come to an age where if you want to wear plaid with purple socks and a brown fedora with a feather in it, trust me, not only will you get the looks, somebody will snap your picture and put you and put you on Instagram because it's all about the individual.
Yeah.
And I think I said it before, don't be a slave to fashion. Literally take the fashion cues out there and just add it to your personal template.
Okay. Now, for a lot of people, holiday parties can be two things. It can be like a business casual, I think is the term, or it can be dressy. And I know a lot of people, you know, this is the one time of year, New Year's and other times, where you can really indeed dress up and go to a party.
Yeah.
But that's a whole different set of things, isn't it?
It is. So let's talk about just going to a social gathering and you don't have to kind of watch your eye over to see if your boss is looking at you and stuff. This is a great time. I think it's one of the times that you really want to invest in probably a new piece. Or if you haven't worn it, like a maybe go and look at it and see how well it wears. But like you just said, this is a time that we have no excuse to just wear our finest.
Yeah.
You know, just go out there and wear a beautiful... If you saw like a... I'm thinking about one of my favorite movies of all time, and I don't know why, but I love that episode of Moonstruck, if you ever saw it, where Cher does. Yeah, like, that's the time. Get your... You just hit the nail right on the head. I just cut my hair into a short bob. Like, it's time to get a new look. It's better update something, and you're going to really, because the year is about to end and a new year is supposed to start, especially for New Year's. So I always say go out the way, you know, invite the new year in the way that you want to embrace 2016. So if you want to embrace 2016 brand new and spectacular, and you're just the top of the king of the hill, top of the queen of the day, I say put an investment. It doesn't have to be a lot of money into a beautiful brand new dress for guys. Put an investment into just going to a holiday party. If you don't want to buy a suit or anything, just get your hair cut, you know.
A new look.
Update your smile, you know, something. Just something that says that I put some effort into this, and this is just not another Friday night, you know, beer fest.
Exactly. Because you do stand out when you do have a new look. And you're
definitely
so right about that. Yeah, because everybody knows you. If you just show up like you usually do, it's like, all right, hi. But if you walk in looking sharp or looking hot, it's, oh, hello.
Hello, somebody. You know, but let me just say something like this to you. Okay, let's talk about budgets. They're probably saying, oh, well, she's like going out and buying a dress. I don't have $2,000. I don't have $50. I don't even have $20.
Yeah.
Okay, if you have zero budget, go to the best kept secret, and there's one in every city, small, medium, or large. You go to consignment stores or Salvation stores, Salvation Army stores, or Red Cross stores. Trust me, there are nuggets. People empty their closets. I'm not talking just certain level of income. I'm talking all levels. You can find a Chanel bag in like an obscure. It's just a matter of go to these places. And you can walk away with a brand new dress for a dollar. You know,
really?
Yes, absolutely. Consignment stores, Salvation Army, Red Cross, those kind of places where you can just go in and buy things for 50 cents, a dollar. Those kind of situations, they are just. They are, if you can dig and if you have the time, there's, it's like mining for gold. You can come up with some amazing things.
Wow. Hey, let
because
me just...
a lot of people... Go ahead.
No, go on. No, you go.
Well, a lot of people, like estate sales, for example, that's where they get rid of the items because they don't have the time to actually sell it. They just go and, you know, are moving. People who are moving. They just go, put things in a garbage bag, drop it off at Salvation Army. In there could be, like, amazing bag that they just no longer wear, or a cashmere sweater that doesn't fit them anymore. It's just, it could be your lucky day.
It could be. Hey, now you're a clothing designer.
Yes, I am.
And you do. yes, you are. And you
I'm
have.
That.
I'm telling you, you are. And you have. you do designs that people can actually afford, which they may not be familiar with.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Ron. My mother thanks you for that, and I thank
she's
you for
totally
that.
Welcome.
my line. The line is called Couture by Alicia. Mm-hmm. I launched it 2015. I'm very thrilled, very proud, and the thing about my line, which I love, and everybody has their own special, is I like to design clothes that fit the silhouette of the women. So I'm talking, you don't have to be a zero, or you could be any number, but they are custom designed so that it actually accentuates, that's a good word here, this is a Friday word, accentuates the form, the female form. I love the female form. Mm-hmm. I know you do, men do, everybody does. So if that's the way to do it. And one of the things in conjunction with the line, I've also launched a handbag line, and it's called, Couture by Alicia is the line, but the bag is called a carry bag, C-A-R-E-Y, play off on my name, so you can carry all. But when we were talking about the holiday, and I was saying bring things with you to the office, sometimes everybody laughs at us big bag girls. Mm-hmm. I'm a big bag girl from back. Mm-hmm. But big bags are great for many reasons. They actually can bring a lot of things in them, so you don't have to be fumbling around with 20 bags. And in your big bag, you can actually carry a small clutch. So invest in a big, sexy bag like Couture by Alicia that is luxurious and stylish, and it can bring you from office to the party. Or if you are feeling like you could do a weekend getaway jaunt or going away for a weekend party, that can bring you to a weekend situation too as well.
Perfect. How did we get our hands on the carry bag?
Oh, that's such great news. You can check me out. Mm-hmm. If you can actually go to Facebook. The Facebook is Couture by Alicia, and there you'll find my email, alicia.carry@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And just tell me. You can custom order any leather color exterior and any silk color interior. And it's small, medium, and large, and we'll ship it to you right away.
Sounds cool.
And hopefully, and if you don't want it for yourself, maybe there's somebody on your fashionista list that, that's been good this year and deserves a little something special under the Christmas tree.
Very, very cool. Hey, it's always fun to talk to you. And her website and the Facebook.com location will be posted on our broadcasting site, so you can pick that up there for more information as well. And we're going to check in with her next week. We're going to look at a different phase of fashion coming up for the holidays when we talk to her next week. Always fun.
Thank you so much, Ron. I'm so grateful for you having me on. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Alicia. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. Now you've answered the question. What are you going to do from the office party to the office party? What are you wearing?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
Hey, you're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. We do this every single weekday, unless it's Thanksgiving or Christmas. Otherwise, no. Or New Year's Day. Probably won't feel like it. Probably have a hangover, although I never get a hangover, but I'll probably have one then. It's funny, you know, one glass of champagne will give me an immediate headache. Or I could drink like three beers or a couple of vodkas and nothing, you know. But champagne? Ow, headache, I don't feel good. So, I mean, New Year's isn't big for me for the champagne thing. The little bubblies don't work for me. But I probably won't be doing a show on New Year's Day, if you don't mind. If you don't mind. But otherwise, I'm always here every weekday with a brand new show. Yeah, uh-huh. You can depend on me like a... I don't even have an analogy. And, of course, you can tell your friends about it. I would appreciate that. You can find this show on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Podbean, all kinds of crap there. As NewEnglandBroadcasting.com, RonVanDam.com, MetroSouthPodcasting.com. God. You can email me if you have any ideas, you'd like to be a guest on the program or be interviewed on the program by going to ronvandamshow@gmail.com, ronvandamshow@gmail.com. Say hello, will you? Be kind, be nice.
Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. And strangers. At Schlickershek the Jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlickershek the Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified, high-quality, shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlickershek. I'm not just your local jeweler. I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
That's for sure. No question about that. You're not kidding me. She does go south. We all go south. They all go south. Everybody goes south. Don't kid yourself. Everybody's going south. Everybody's going south. Everybody.
Hey, baby, won't you look my way? I can be your new addiction.
You know, everybody's looking for things for the holiday season, some interesting different things. We came upon a book that I just fell head over heels for in a very falling in love sense. When I was a kid, I was really into Sherlock Holmes. I liked everything about the Sherlock Holmes books and the movies and all that stuff. And there is an incredible book that has come out about Sherlock Holmes. It's fascinating. And man, if you know anybody who is into that, this book is an incredible holiday gift. And I'm not pushing it. I don't get any kind of kickback from it. Well, $7 million I do get. But other than that, no. It's really an incredible book. And I had the opportunity over the weekend to speak to the author, which I usually don't speak to authors that I really, really love, but I did have an opportunity to do this. He's not the author, actually. He wrote the foreword. I thought he was the author, but I was wrong. And in the interview, you'll hear that I was actually wrong about something. But this is one incredible book, kids. Hi, Leslie. How are you? Well,
oh. Good. It's a soft S, Leslie.
Leslie, okay. Leslie, pleasure to have you here. Leslie Klinger is author of a book that is fascinating, And it's kind of comes in a time which is, there's a special on television coming up, I understand, about Sherlock Holmes.
Indeed. First of all, let me set the record straight.
Yes.
I wrote the foreword to the book.
Right.
The contributing editors, the guys who did the hard work, are my good friends, Barry Forshaw and David Stewart Davies.
Okay. All right. Well, it's hard work to do a foreword. Let's not kid ourselves. Okay.
It is. Okay. And it's interesting. I didn't want to be associated with a book that wasn't going to be top quality. Yeah. And I saw it at an early stage, and I was just immensely impressed.
It's top quality. Let me give you a little background here. When I was a kid, I was so into Sherlock Holmes. I had read all the stories, and I was fascinated by it, and I actually believed that it was a real person because I wanted to. And
of course,
it was one of my there was that book and the complete works of William Shakespeare and the Universal Book of Language. There was three books that I had in my bookcase when I was a little kid. So this fascinated me. And not only is it about Sherlock Holmes, but it's about all the ways that Sherlock Holmes appeared in our society in various forms and various contexts.
Yes, it really is a guidebook to the entire world of Sherlock Holmes,
yeah.
The Victorian age, as well as how literature and popular culture has embraced the Holmes stories. There's a summary of each story. There are pictures that go with these stories. Some of them are many of the original illustrations for the stories. But there's also analysis of the stories, what Sherlockians love, and by the way, the English call themselves Holmesians.
Okay.
What the Holmesians love are the problems, the worries about things like, what kind of snake was that in the speckled pan?
Interesting. I guess you can get into anything analytically like that, but because it was such an incredibly real world, and when we think about detective work and analyzing things and finding the answers to things and clues, we think of this fictional character as being the mainstay, even though it didn't really exist.
That's right. And to me, that's the mark of great literature. Mm. When you can plunge into the universe and immerse yourself. And I've been told Sherlockians play a game, the same game that you played, that Holmes and Watson really lived, and the stories are true. Mm-hmm. And I've been accused of being disrespectful to Arthur Conan Doyle by playing that game. I argue just the opposite. I argue that it is the highest respect that an author can create a world so realistic, so detailed, that you and I can play that game.
Oddly enough, these fictional works gave me a feeling of security in the real world, in the sense that there are people who can figure everything out and no one can hide from the intelligence of some of these phenomenal people, all based on something that really wasn't there. But that gave me a sense of real life security, oddly enough.
Yes, I think I agree with you. I think that part of the appeal of Holmes is I describe him as an attainable superhero.
Correct.
He's clearly a superhero in the sense that he's got, you know, amazing abilities. Mm. But they're abilities that you don't have to be bitten by a spider to get. You don't have to be born on a distant planet. Mm. You can live right here on Earth. We'd like to imagine if we just work hard enough, we could be like that.
Well, his superhuman power was a human with an incredible deductive mind. As you say, didn't have to wear a cape, didn't have to fly or have X-ray vision. It was a person who was using their faculties.
Yes, there's a lovely film poster from the 70s at the height of the popularity of Batman, or I guess the late 60s, which describes him as the original Caped Crusader.
Yeah, I go for that. The book itself is just beautiful. It just takes you through the entire world, but it takes you to the television series, all the various motion pictures that were based on, and including the serials back in the old theatrical days, and of course the writings as well, and various papers. I mean, it just, everything is rolled into one book.
Yes, DK has, this is not the first time they've produced beautiful books, but DK has really done a fine job in putting this together. The official title is the Sherlock Holmes book. Mm. You have to dig through it to find the names of the contributing editors, but they're there. Barry Forshaw and David Stewart Davies, as I said. Yeah. And I'm just honored to be associated with it.
Yeah. It's funny because you can tell what generation you're from, because if you say Sherlock Holmes to one generation, they'll say Robert Downey Jr. You say Sherlock Holmes to another generation, they'll say, yeah, Basil Rathbone. It's interesting how you can actually place yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I had a hand in many of them, and I like that. I often say there's no Sherlock Holmes that I don't really like. Mm. New generations' interpretations are always fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I love the television show Elementary.
Yeah.
I enjoy the BBC's Sherlock. Yeah. And yes, I love the Robert Downey films.
Yeah. The Robert Downey films are a little, we're getting into a lot of violence and physical stuff that wasn't really a part of it to be as a, but you know, they had to appease this generation of moviegoers. So I thought that was a little bit of a self.
Well, interesting. If you read the stories carefully, you'll see that Holmes was a renowned amateur boxer and a good hand at what he called the single stick, which was kind of like fencing. So that part's drawn from the original stories. Now, there weren't so many explosions, but little liberties are okay.
Okay, fine. All right. Now, there's a television special coming up, I understand, in December.
Yes. It's the BBC's, it's a one-off for the BBC, meaning it's not really part of the series that they're doing called Sherlock.
Right.
It's the same actors, same cast,
but
they've set it in Victorian times, and so far, we don't know why.
Okay.
The main series is in modern times.
Okay.
How did these people get back into Victorian times? Yeah. Is it all just a dream?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll find out.
Okay.
It airs on the New Year's Eve. New Year's Day, I think.
New Year's Day. How do we get a hold of the book?
I think it's at your local independent bookstore, as well as the usual big box stores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Indie Books, IndieBound.com. It's called The Sherlock Holmes Book. It's from DK. And as you said, it's a gorgeous book.
It is. Great gift. And especially for the enthusiast, they'll have an orgasm. It's fantastic.
Well, and those who would just like to know more.
Yes. Well, we're out of time. But I thank you so much for your time today, Leslie.
It's been a pleasure.
Okay. You take care. Soft S. Less. Less. Soft S. I'm out of time. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Be back again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace.